But a peace is not a peace in independence and freedom, but a peace in slavery. A peace Americanness which the Vietnamese people will not accept. The conference still fails to make any progress. This is precisely because the U.S. still refuses to accept the fair and reasonable stand of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam government and the South Vietnam National Front for Liberation, and deliberately omits the key point, that is, since the U.S. is waging an aggression against Vietnam, it must end its aggression and withdraw all its troops and those of its satellites from South Vietnam without any conditions. The responsibility fully rests with the U.S. side. In his speech, Chavez tried to cut off the aggressive acts of the U.S. in Vietnam and continued his habitual slander against North Vietnam. As in the previous session, Phan Trang Lien, head of the Saigon Puppet Administration, continued to plead for the U.S. aggression. In his additional remarks, Chen Dong-kim cited many facts and statements of American personalities affirming that the U.S. is an oppressor who has trampled upon international law and is continuing its aggression with Vietnam. Once more, Phan Trang Lien refuted U.S. slander against North Vietnam. Only 2 days ago, he recalled, Justice Dallas at the U.S. Supreme Court himself said that the majority of the American people oppose the U.S. militarist regime and oppose the aggressive war in Vietnam. Phan Trang Lien called on the U.S. representatives to settle down for a serious discussion of the Vietnam issue on the basis of the 4-point stand of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam government and the 5 points of the South Vietnam National Front for Liberation in order to end the U.S. aggressive war in Vietnam. The next session is set for April 24, 1969. Vietnam SMB, Marine Corps, Mass Control, Richard Andrew, Jack Stop, Arizona. Robertson Plus, German and February, Widener, Arkansas. Corporal, David G. Chapman, Ventura, California. Robertson Plus, Michael S. Mason, Stockton, California. First Lieutenant, Russell E. Moak, Second Taylor, Florida. Brother Foster, Homer West, Middleboro, Kentucky. Last Corporal, Bradley G. Frank, Livermore, Maine. Brother Foster, Dennis C. Jones Jr., Jefferson, Maine. Last Corporal, Robert L. Barnes, Euclid, Minnesota. Lance Corporal, John B. Houston, Long Island, New York. Robert Houston, John L. Beebe, North Industry, Ohio. Robert Houston, Donald L. Zagliski, Briggs Hill, Ohio. First Lieutenant, Lawrence E. Hawks, II, Myra, Pennsylvania. Last Corporal, Robert E. Fenwick, Sugar Cove, Pennsylvania. American GI, beyond an end of the world,
get over to fighting now and alive. Come here, fight with me. This is also Vietnam, Washington State from Hanoi, capital of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam. A program to American citizens and workers at 7:05 on time on the 31, 240 degrees, and 16:30 on 21 hours Central Time on the 25, 31, and 240 degrees. And at 21:30 and 19:30 hours. Scribbling about putting GS right was not long from academic community in Vietnam. This program will bring you to music in our talk. If missing does want to get back to GS right, you will also hear a tip from you. As Master Sergeant Gordon said, this is the GS in Vietnam. Now for the program. Yes, our folks, if missing does want to face the GI's life, working in voice are making written press of retaliation at the attempt launched by the South Vietnamese People's Liberation Conferences against U.S. and Saigonese military bases and headquarters these days. Associated Press on North Pacific. The U.S. Command in Saigon has on hand a number of intelligence units, including the Germany based North Vietnam, within 24 hours. The story
The holy effect from him, which must suffice in your demigrants,
Every year, teaching in the United States. This is a song called Unfeedable Two.
Life seems a short life to get the first run. Some good delays make us the brightest. These are the good boys. They're the kids of the world. They can manage. Then only lion or fire.
He was sitting at a GI station in his home last August.
They're not all good, special forces. It was just about 2 years ago, in fact, 3 years ago next month, when I left Vietnam and special forces and put the United States Army. It was 3 years ago, November. I stood before a small group a few miles from here in the Farmery Park who spoke out against our actions in Vietnam for the first time. That may well have been my first and last public appearance, except that shortly thereafter, some of the three members of the Berkeley BDC, I met Gilbert Humphrey at Moffett Air Base. And Ted Norton had already talked and met with Generals Westmoreland, Maxwell Taylor, Mr. McNamara. When was that day at Moffett Air Base that I fully realized for the first time just how much trouble this country was really in. I made a decision that day, a decision that I believe would cut me off from the acquaintances of 10 years. I felt that I would be misunderstood, my words twisted, would be the target of much invective on a daily basis. I counted on being very lonely and certainly very uncomfortable. God knows there was nothing in my background to suggest that I would be running around the country in short order espousing an unpopular cause. These intellectual remarks are addressed to soldiers and ex-soldiers in the audience. I tell you these things because at the time that I first spoke, I was invariably asked by the media, why only you? Thousands of soldiers go over to Vietnam. Thousands of soldiers have gotten out of the army. Why is it only you that's speaking? Hopefully today, this will be the answer. I am not the only one. I have never, ever been the only one. Perhaps just a little noise here. But I have lots of company today. The discomfort that I felt when I first got up to speak was of short duration, and as for being lonely, I can assure any soldier that is considering making a stand against the war that since that day in November 1965, I've met more real people, I've made more real friends than I ever could have made or ever could have imagined before. As expected, my former comrades in arms, Rifers all, cut me close. But that too has changed. Most of them now write. Many of them have also quit, and most of them for the same reason that I did. I now average 10 to 12 letters a week from GIs in Vietnam, and I've yet to receive an unfriendly one. But the main thing that has happened in the past 3 years is that now when I'm dumping on the war in Vietnam and the military, I'm no longer espousing an unpopular cause. If you really want to hear the war and the military dumped on, go talk to GIs in Vietnam. Last week I returned from Vietnam and Laos after 3 months. When I went there with the anticipation that I was going to get stoned. By rock, you know, this way. Evidently, so did the army, that they very quickly passed the word around to the soldiers that I was in the country to be aware of what they said. Well, instead of facing the way, GIs actually got me out to commiserate and to shake my hand. It was quite a shock. One night, in fact, I had the great pleasure of hearing a PFT tell a major in front of two special forces types that the major had no right to even discuss the war in Vietnam, since obviously he knew nothing about it, nor the people of Vietnam. Furthermore, he got away with it. People, I tell you, the military had a problem, and I couldn't be happier about it. I'm not trying to give the impression that the majority of the GIs in Vietnam are ready to refer and mute me. It would be very unrealistic and it would be far from the truth. But even for those who are in favor of the war, they have enough questions about it now that the others can knock it without fear of bodily harm. I stood in a bunker on top of a hill near Dark Moon this last month and listened to a GI put the whole war down in front of his own company commander. The company commander could only shake his head and walk out of the bunker. At least half of the junior officers I talked with told me they were getting out and going back to school. If only 5% of them live up to that, we're going to have an awful surplus of teachers next year. The military in Vietnam, as a matter of fact, because of the attitude of the soldiers in Vietnam, has been forced to replace leadership in the spree with technology. Before going to Vietnam, the soldiers told how the Vietnamese love our soldiers. They told of the great victories and the great progress the military is making in Vietnam. But the enemy is being beaten. Yet when he arrives, he finds out that after almost 30,000 GIs have been killed and died, in spite of the kill ratio he's asked to believe, after 2.5 years, what is he going there to defend? He's going there to defend Saigon, Da Nang, Hue, and a whole slew of other places that were considered secured and pacified 3 years ago. And that is progress. Almost one half of our ground effectives at this moment are being effectively tied down protecting Saigon alone. What has happened, information has become the enemy of the United States military. The 4th Division in Vietnam is a case in point. When a 4th Division replacement arrives at Cam Ranh Bay, an all-American city isolated from Vietnam, he is immediately flown to an American air base outside of Play 2, where he's put on an American bus and trucked over to Camp Inari, an all-American base. after a week's orientation where he's warned against fraternizing with the Vietnamese or the Montagnards, he's given a permanent assignment. No matter what the assignment, his only contact for the next 12 months with the Vietnamese will be in the line of duty only. If he's in a support role, he'll be allowed one leave, which he must take out of country. If assigned to a fire base, he is allowed an additional one in-country leave. But he must take that leave in a place such as Vung Tau. He's not allowed to take it, for instance, in Saigon. Now, for a soldier to go to Vung Tau for 2 weeks, it's much like an American going to Guantanamo and saying he's visiting Cuba. This may be the very first time in the history of any army that the army has had to be separated from the people, not to deny information to the enemy, but to deny information to the soldiers. Unfortunately for the army, and now because of their job, they get around. And also, unfortunately for the army, they talk to their buddies. The military has tried, and they've mounted a tremendous propaganda campaign to offset the effect of soldiers getting their hands on information. Again, unfortunately, the way they do this is they increase the size of their information specialists, or the information office. But the people they have to assign to these jobs know how to read and write, and they have certain powers of observation. So as I grouped in Vietnam, the worst dissidents I found against the war were the public information specialists. Another happy change over the past couple of years is the change in the attitude of those opposed to the war towards GIs. Not too long ago, to quote a friend, those in the peace movement gave the impression that the GI was an American Eichmann and let him threw down his gun. Newsletters and papers supposedly written for the GIs insulted his intelligence almost as badly as did the military itself. Both were so bad, the brass actually allowed the papers to be distributed in order to build morale among the troops. People who criticized the government for not understanding the Vietnamese, people who had never been subject to the uniform code of military, if you'll excuse the expression, justice, people who had never been through basic training and had never lived under the pressures and propaganda of a soldier, people who had never had to put their body up against a machine gun, these same people supposed they could communicate with the soldiers without doing any homework. But I'm not pointing this out as a criticism. I'm pointing it out as to show where we have come from. The peace movement, they or we, has done some great things in the last 3 years. The movement has created a climate on the outside that has encouraged and made possible for soldiers to take stands that require one hell of a lot more guts than that's required to face a machine gun. More and more GIs know that there are friends on the outside willing to help them. We now have such things as the Coffee House Project of the Summer of Support, started by a friend of mine and with which I'm proud to have my name associated. We have many organizations now geared and oriented towards the GIs, and we have GI organizing themselves. But we have to do more, and it's imperative that we do it together. To those in the movement, I say this. Work hard. Don't push. We're dealing with people that went to the same schools as we did. Don't box them in. Give the soldier information and give them aid. The soldier can figure it out. To the ideologues, I say cool it. The soldier is already deluged with a serpent of isms and anti-isms. To those who've never been in the military, for God's sake, do your homework. Find out what a soldier is before you try to talk to him. To the soldiers and ex-soldiers, I ask you to talk it up. To that fact that still today in this country, people give a great weight to the words of the soldiers, especially those who have served in time of war. But take advantage of it. God knows the government does. It doesn't have to be on a public platform. I'd be the last man to fool anybody who has no great desire to get up on a stage. But you can talk it up with your friends, your neighbors. No one knows better than we who are drafted.